In a month where we got two Money in the Bank matches on the roof of Titan Tower on one pay-per-view at the beginning of the month, here we end the month with a stadium stampede in a football stadium. Very much not a wrestling match. All in the same month. And you know what? I loved them all. I love the Money in the Bank matches, and I love the Stadium Stampede match tonight. I thought it was great. I thought it was good fun. I know there's going to be a lot of debate. There's going to be a lot of varied opinion about this. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to hate it. Some people's heads are going to explode. I loved it. I thought it was great. Let me lower the volume here in case I'm blowing your ears out. This is your AEW Double or Nothing 2020 review for Saturday night, May 23rd, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. I got to wake up in a few hours. I got to record episode 653. We got a whole other podcast to do in the morning, but we got to get through this first. If you've not already done so, hit the thumbs up. Hit the like button if you would be so kind. And super chats are open. You're going to see them coming in throughout the night. We got a whole bunch of them before I even went on the air here, so I'm going to get to those as well. Don't worry, I got you covered. I didn't forget about anybody. So you see the special donation amounts are down in the description. If you want to, you know, put in for one of those, that's up to you. And you can vote in the poll at Solemonster on Twitter. Later on in the stream, I'll flash the results. I want to know what you got. I'm really curious, you know, given that main event. AEW fans usually are pretty kind to the product. They love to support the product, rah-rah for the home team. But, it, you know, again, I can see where there would be a lot of varied opinion, you know, about that main event. So I'm actually genuinely curious to see where everybody kind of stands on the whole issue. There were some injuries coming into the show, unfortunately. If you tuned into Dynamite on Wednesday night, talked a little bit about it on the stream as well. Didn't look good for Rey Fénix. That dive that kind of died in midair came crashing down. Hard landing during that segment on Wednesday. I don't know how serious the injury is. Doesn't seem like it's serious, but he was banged up enough where he was pulled from the casino ladder match. Britt Baker replaced by Penelope Ford in her match against Chris Statlander. So those were the injuries. Thankfully, Sheeta was okay. If you remember Sheeta, she, you know, the back of her head took the brunt of a superplex through a table, even though she was suplexing Nyla. So thankfully, she wasn't concussed. She was okay. So she was on the show tonight. The buy-in pre-show, Private Party, taking on the Best Friends. A little sloppy in spots. You know, I know Private Party, they really haven't been working too much. Pretty sure they've been working on Dark. But we haven't seen them on Dynamite. I mean, when was the last time we saw Private Party not standing in the crowd? You know, actually competing in a match, wrestling in the ring on Dynamite. I don't know. It's been a long time. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's ring rust. I don't know. I like that they paid tribute to Shad Gaspard. They did point out, the announcers did during the match. At one point, they used the old Crime Time finish, the G9. So that was a tribute to Crime Time here in this match. Finish saw Chuck Taylor, pull Isaiah Cassidy out to the floor. Trent sets up Strong Zero in the middle of the ring, and they hit their finish for the win. I figured it would be a Best Friends win. I mean, we've seen them on television. You know, we haven't seen any of Private Party. So I figured Best Friends were going to go over here. You know, the match was fine. Like I said, a little rough in spots, but the match was fine. Vicky Guerrero was among the names in the crowd tonight. Jim Ross was at one point talking about Vicky, perhaps expecting that there might be some blowback. I don't. Sometimes he gets so wound up and so agitated. He'll kind of go after the trolls before they actually troll. Said, "Don't worry, she's just a friend of AEW. Don't need to get bent out of shape." Okay. I have no reason to get out of shape. I have no reason to get bent out of shape. Vicky Guerrero wants to make an appearance for AEW. Hey, more power to her. I got no problem with it. Maybe it was a message directed to WWE, since WWE apparently was not very happy about Vicky being on AEW a few months ago. So, anyway, she was there. The show opened with the casino ladder match for the right to challenge for the AEW World Championship at a later date. A giant poker chip hanging above the ring. You pull down the poker chip, You win the title opportunity. It's very simple. That's how this works. They have the rules where a new man would come out every 2 minutes in this match. So with Phoenix injured, which is too bad, because if you think about it, in a match like this, he would have, to say that he would have thrived in this environment would be an understatement. It might actually be a good thing that he couldn't wrestle in this match, because God only knows what this guy would have done to himself. But it is the kind of match where he normally would do well. So he was replaced by Joey Janela. Joey Janela took his place. We had Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, Kip Sabian, Colt Cabana, Luchasaurus, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and a mystery entrant. The number 9 mystery entrant would come out later on. We had both members of SCU opening the match, Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian. I laugh. It's like the Royal Rumble when you get two tag team partners who come out and they have to wrestle. Oh, it's random. The announcers mentioned that tonight as well. Oh, it's random. It's a random order. Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. So it just so happens the two members of SCU opened this match. And not like an elimination chamber. You know, the rules were match could end at any moment. You don't have to wait for everybody to come out. These two guys could have won the match in 10 seconds if they wanted to. They had a comically large countdown clock on the Tron, which of course is directly ahead. Just gigantic. You can't miss it. So that was counting down the 2 minute intervals. We have Kip Sabian out at number 3. Jimmy Havoc got involved. He wasn't in the match. Darby Allin was out next at number 4. He's a crazy man. Almost right away, he had Kazarian outside laid across a ladder. Darby grabs his skateboard. What does he do? Climbs up the ladder. They had all these red ladders. Red ladders all over ringside. And he climbs up the ladder. He's got the skateboard in his hand. And what do you think he's going to do? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to jump off the ladder. He's going to try to place the skateboard under his feet. And he's going to kill himself. And that's what he did. Because Kazarian moved and crashed through the ladder. And he was selling it like he broke his ankle or he hurt his leg. So that took him out of the match for a while. Orange Cassidy was number 5. He was acting and pretending like he didn't know how to climb a ladder. Apparently, all of a sudden, he became a dumbass. Not representing me very well. I don't know what the point of that was, but apparently he doesn't know how to wrestle in a ladder match for whatever reason. Colt Cabana was out at number 6. We had Joey Janela number 7, Luchasaurus number 8, and the Mystery Man. Mystery Man came out at number 9. We hear Taz's voice. For a split second, I said, oh no. It can't be Taz. Please tell me Taz is not coming out in the old singlet. All due respect to Taz. You know, I like him in the announce booth. Taz is fine in the announce booth. But thankfully, Taz was not in the match. Instead, his new client, I guess, his new representative, protege, I don't know what you would call him. Who can stop the path of Cage? That's how the announce or the theme music starts. And out comes Brian Cage. My prediction came true. When I did the predictions video the other day, I said, you know what? I think Brian Cage is going to be the mystery man. And I think he's going to win the whole thing. Not bad. Not bad. But again, we heard months ago that he was joining or he had signed. He got hurt. He had the biceps injury. And that was months ago. You know how these guys are. If you have an injury that takes you 6 months to recover from, you know, some of these guys, they'll be back in 3. Well, he was jacked to the gills. I mean, all just pumped up. He didn't look any different than the last time we saw him in Impact. So out comes Brian Cage. And you know, one of the things I like about AEW, I think the strong suits about the company is the fact that they rely, you know, it's their emphasis on managers or coaches or whatever they want to call them, right? They got Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Jake the Snake Roberts, Taz, a little younger than the other ones, but they rely on wrestling legends to be in the managerial role. Now, you don't want to have too many of them, but I like that. I think that is a good usage of the legends. You don't put them in the ring. I mean, some of them can still go, but this is where they can be, I think, the most helpful and the most beneficial. So I like that. I like the fact that they have put Taz together with Cage. I think it's an interesting pairing. Taz is a good talker, good trash talker. So I like it. I like this. So he came out. He gave Darby Allin an F10. I think Wardlow might have a little something to say about that. Just jack the guy's finishing move. Somebody very audibly shouted, "Fucking motherfucker." I wasn't sure who it was at first. Apparently it was Joey Janela. I don't know who he was talking to. I don't know if he just remembered he left his car keys at home. I don't know. But he seemed to be very upset about something. I think the dude needs to lay off the White Claws. Orange Cassidy, he climbs up on Cage's back. Cage is climbing the ladder. All the other wrestlers join forces. They pull them down. And so they take Cage outside the ring. And they bury him. They literally bury this dude. They take one of the guardrails. They throw it on top of him. They take one of the ladders. They throw it on top of him. Best friends and Orange Cassidy, they have this giant plexiglass poker chip. They bring it over. They put it on top of him. Man has been buried. First night in the company, this poor bastard's already being buried. So that takes him out of the match for a while. Eventually, of course, like Super Shredder in Secret of the Ooze. Remember that? The hand coming out of the rubble. He didn't put the hand out of the rubble, but he basically, you know, back to his feet. Super Shredder. And back in the ring. Now, eventually, Taz comes walking back out. He had left. He comes out. He's like, "That's it. Finish it. Let's go. Finish this." He takes Darby Allin. Puts Darby Allin on top of this mini ladder. And he hoists the ladder up. And to me, recklessly, throws it outside the ring. And Darby is just, he takes, just kills him. Kills Darby with this. Throws him outside the ring. He hits the floor. I think he hit a ladder on the way down. And so Cage climbs up, retrieves the poker chip, and Brian Cage now has an AEW championship match in his back pocket. First night in, the guy's already got a championship match whenever he wants it. Not a bad way to make your debut. Not a bad way to make your debut. I don't think you can ask for a better debut. You got Taz in your corner, world title shot in your back pocket, dominant performance on your first night in, killing dudes left and right. That's the way you debut a new monster. So I like that. The rest of the match, I thought, kind of a mess. I thought this match was kind of a mess. I enjoyed the Cage stuff. I enjoyed, you know, a few little spots here and there. Look, it's the kind of crash TV you would expect from like a TLC match. I mean, it was every ladder match like this that you've ever seen. But it just felt, I don't know, it was kind of a mess. That's just kind of how I felt. It just never got to that, oh wow, this is a great ladder match kind of level. It was all a backdrop for the debut of Brian Cage, which it should have been. Let me play catch up real quick, because I want to say thank you to everybody who has been sending super chats here to the stream. I want to make sure I don't fall too far behind. We got a ways to go here before we're done on the stream. I hope you guys are grabbing a drink, grabbing a cold beverage of some kind, and joining me. Jackalope. Yeah, Jackalope was the first person 3 hours ago to send a super chat in, so thank you to him. Fangestic. JWD. What's going on, JWD? Spanish Goddish. Goddish. There you go. Prince Walker. I am Crush. I am Crush with the $20. Thank you. This pay-per-view is the best thing in wrestling during the pandemic period. And go stream his single called Awake by Crush on Spotify. Well, there you go. You got your plug-in. And Laxus Dryer with the $25. Thought it was a pretty fun show. So did I. So did I. On the whole, I enjoyed this show. Not everything, as you will see. Not everything on this show. But on the whole, I enjoyed this show. And again, the main event, which I'll get to. But like the Money in the Bank matches, I enjoyed it. It was something different. Take it out of the empty, the Daily's Place setting where they're having all their shows now. Put it in a different setting. You had a giant empty football stadium. Imagine the things you can do in a giant empty football stadium. Well, guess what? They did it. They pretty much did everything there is to do. And some of it was hokey. So we'll have some fun when we talk about that later. MJF and Jungle Boy. This was one of those matches that I thought really was a big part of why I thought this was a thumbs-up show. this was better than I thought it would be. You know, MJF, I think the knock on him by a lot of people who either don't like him or think that, oh, he's overrated, he's overhyped, you know, he's a good talker, but he can't wrestle, all this kind of stuff. Well, tonight, I thought this was the best MJF match that he's had since coming to AEW. I haven't seen all of his matches in MLW, but from a pure wrestling match standpoint, no shenanigans or anything like that. This was a very good match. And credit to both guys. This was, I think, the best match either one of them have had since coming to the company. A lot of chain wrestling at the beginning. MJF faked the knee injury. Of course, he wasn't hurt. Got up, went after Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy sold his arm most of the way. There was a springboard double stomp, stomped on the arm. Told a story. Sold the arm for the rest of the match. He would try some moves, couldn't do it, didn't have strength in the arm. It was a poison rana to MJF on the apron where I don't know how he didn't break his friggin' neck. I hate that move. On the apron, I mean, come on. I blame Ring of Honor for that. Ring of Honor years ago started this whole trend of moves on the apron. Everybody had to follow up. Well, they're doing it. We can do it too. I loved it because Ring of Honor started doing it. And like you could tell, like I think it was New Day. It was like not long after on a WWE pay-per-view. All of a sudden, the WWE guys are doing moves on the apron, backdrops on the apron, huh? Yeah. All it takes is one company or a few people at one company to start, and it starts spreading like wildfire. These guys are going to kill themselves one day. They got to slow it down. Got to be careful. So Jungle Boy could have taken the count-out win. He's the dumb babyface. So what did he do? I got to win it in the ring. So he puts MJF in the ring. MJF grabs Aubrey Edwards by the leg, and he's shaking her. She hits the ropes, and Jungle Boy's up top. He crotches himself. He did end up hitting MJF with the Avalanche Liger Bomb off the top for a near fall. So they end up doing a bunch of cradles back and forth, near fall, near fall, near fall. Finally, MJF hits a cradle, hooks him, can't kick out. MJF wins. MJF wins with the cradle finish. I thought this was a very good match. Best MJF match he's had yet. Good win for him. Good showing for Jungle Boy. They gave me more than I expected here. I wasn't expecting too much out of this match. And I thought they exceeded expectations. So this was good. Hey, Brian Barson, thank you for the $5. Greetings from Dutchess County. A fellow New Yorker. Not exactly near Brooklyn, but all the way from Dutchess County. Brian Becerra, thank you for the 25. Love Brian. Did I just give you a kiss? Holy shit. I just gave him a kiss. Well, Brian is one of our like loyal, like long time loyal, you know. You got to show some love somehow. Man, I'm in a mood tonight. Wavy Davey, thank you for the 3. Matthew Garrett, thank you for the 5. And Cube of the Goat. Cube of the Goat with the $2. So then we got to the TNT title tournament final. We're doing this tournament on television now for how many weeks? Probably about a month, maybe. This tournament has been going on for. So this was the big culmination. A little strange to have the finals of the TNT title tournament not on TNT. I did think that was a little bit strange when they first made the announcement. But we had Iron Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson was in attendance to present the winner with the championship belt. This is the championship that he presented to the winner. There it is. There's the new TNT title belt. I'm not a big fan of it as it currently looks. You can tell they wanted to pay homage to the old NWA television title, which I can respect. And they've done that in the NWA, NWA Power. They have resuscitated, I guess you would say, the old NWA Television Championship, and it looks practically identical to the way the old NWA TV title looked. Got the red strap, silver plates. The side plates are nice, looks too plain, but thankfully, Tony Schiavone explained that the belt is not yet completed. Due to the virus, they still have to put the gold plating on it. So when it's done, apparently, it's going to look really nice, is what they say. So I will withhold judgment beyond what I just said. I will withhold final judgment on this belt until we see the final design, because as it looks now, I don't like it. And people love to crap on the 24/7 title, and rightfully so, because it is a green monstrosity. This is not as bad as the 24/7 title, but this ain't good either. But if this is the incomplete belt, good. Because if this is the complete belt, I ain't a fan. I am not a fan of that. So, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is out with the championship belt. Comes out, he's posing with the belt. Lance Archer comes out, he kills him. Oh, was it Lee Johnson? That guy Lee Johnson. Anyway, kills this dude on his way out, chokeslams him in the ring, and they zoom in on Tyson's face. And Mike Tyson had this hilarious expression on his face. I would love to know what they told him before he went out. So obviously they said to him, listen, you're going to walk out with the belt, and here's what's going to happen, and we want you to act blank. I would like to know what they said to him. Act scared? Act surprised? Act appalled? Because from what I saw, it was kind of a mix. I would say it was kind of like, it was kind of a combination of like being appalled and looking like maybe he just crapped his pants and didn't know what to do. It was this hilariously awkward look on his face. He didn't know what to make of this. So, instantly, right away, Lance Archer hits the blackout. Almost went for the immediate win on Cody. Cody rolls out to the floor. Big Swole. I got to mention Big Swole. I have a note on Big Swole. So Big Swole is at ringside. AEW women's wrestler. And they did a very good job having the wrestlers in the crowd make noise. Billy Gunn was there again with his son. I mentioned Vicky Guerrero. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of wrestlers. The librarians were there. Big Swole was going nuts for every match. And in this match here, she got right up in Lance Archer's face when he got outside the ring. He said, you ain't shit. Or she said, you ain't shit. She was getting up. I thought she was going to jump the barricade and go after him. I thought she was drunk. Apparently, she's just very good at her job. I guess she was probably just told, hey, go out there and act like a wrestling fan. She did a great job. And it wasn't just Archer. Every match, you could hear her voice. People would come over. She would get up in their face. They were holding her back at one point. Maybe she was drunk. I don't know. But Big Swole was one of the stars of the show here tonight. There was an unfortunate moment. I should have grabbed the screen cap. But there was an unfortunate yet funny moment during the match. They kept cutting back to Mike Tyson. So Tyson is sitting at ringside. He's got the TNT title in his lap. And he's watching the match. And a few times, he got a smile on his face. He looks like he's having a good time. He's having fun. They cut to him at one point, and they cut to him at the worst possible moment where he was letting out a big yawn. And I just looked at that. I said, oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. That's not the moment you want to catch your big star on camera. He was a little tired, I guess. Everybody gets tired. But Mike Tyson didn't look like he was overly excited to be sitting out there. So, I thought that was funny. Cody locked on a modified crossface at one point. You don't need the play-by-play and all the moves. Let's get to the part that matters here, right? So, going into this match, they were hyping the fact that something might happen with Mike Tyson, or something might happen between Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson. They had a whole face-off on Dynamite Wednesday night. Was somebody going to get DDT'd? Were we going to see a classic Arn Anderson spine buster? I was kind of hoping we would. Arn can still hit that spine buster. So they wanted you to think, okay, one of these things is probably going to happen. Something is going to blow up. Tyson maybe is going to throw a knockout punch. Something's going to happen. And it didn't. Shockingly, it didn't happen. Now, Arn did get involved in the match at one point. He caused Lance Archer to crotch himself on the rope. The referee was told what happened. Another referee came out, and so they ejected Arn Anderson. And in throwing, and it's funny too, because they looked at Mike Tyson to say, did he do it? And Tyson just looked and go, yeah, get rid of him. So they threw out Arn Anderson. And I guess because they were throwing out Arn, they felt they had to throw out Jake. So they ejected Jake the Snake as well. Jake then comes back a couple minutes later. He's got the snake bag in his hand. He's coming back out with the snake. Mike Tyson sees this. He gets up on the ramp to the stage, takes his shirt off. Tyson's been training. I don't know how many of you have seen these videos of him and Holyfield. Clearly, they're building to some kind of a charity boxing match of some kind. Maybe the Saudi prince wants a boxing match. Don't be shocked if it happens in Saudi Arabia. But these two are probably going to end up in the ring together. Evander Holyfield, I don't care what kind of shape he's in, like right now, cardio and all that, he has no business being in a ring. I mean, if you've listened to this guy talk and you've watched an Evander Holyfield interview, you talk about punch drunk, anybody who puts that guy back in a ring, any commission who approves that is out of their mind. Charity or not. But I think if they put it together, it'll do big business. You could say, oh, they're over the hill. One guy's 57, the other guy's 53. Believe me, they'll do business together. They'll do business. So Mike's in good shape. So he takes the shirt off. Jake backs off. Jake doesn't want to have anything to do with any of this. And that was it. That was the last we saw Jake. He went to the back. So Tyson scared him off. So Archer sets Cody up for the blackout. He slips out into the crossroads, hits one, gets him up. Second crossroads, 1, 2, 3, and Cody. Cody Rhodes is your first ever AEW television, I guess it is a television title, right? It's the TNT title. So he is the first ever TNT champion. Tyson comes into the ring. He presents the title to Cody. Big pyro celebration. Tyson gets the hell out of there. It looked like Cody was trying to talk to him. Tyson just... he turned around, he got the hell out of here. He couldn't wait to get out of there. He's like, there's no fans here. What am I doing here? He's thinking, at least when I helped Cold Stone win the championship at WrestleMania in Boston, we had 20,000 people in the building. Nobody told me there weren't going to be any fans here. He just wanted to show off his physique. Once he did that, he earned his pay. So he left the ring. I thought it was a good match. It dragged a little bit for me. It was not some kind of one of these like excellent Cody matches, because Cody's had a lot of great matches, but usually in front of like big crowds. And that's one of the things about this match. I think this match suffered a little bit by not being in front of an audience. I mean, all matches suffer to some extent by that, but I think in the case of this match, with Tyson there and everything, this really, they couldn't do it, but this really should have been held in front of a crowd. It's too bad that they couldn't, you know, pull that off. But the second thing is, again, all the teasing about a DDT or a spine buster or Tyson's going to do something, nothing really happened. So in a way, it was building to a spot that never came, and it kind of felt a little underwhelming. I wanted an old man fight. We didn't get our old man fight. They kicked him out. They got ejected. Old man fights can be fun. You ever see an old man fight in a store, like Walmart or something? It's comical. I did see one once, by the way. Didn't last very long, but it was entertaining enough. Cody winning is the right outcome. I said it in my predictions. I'll say it again here. I know some people disagree. Cody winning is the right move. Lance Archer is not dead. All the work they've done with Lance Archer is not undone because of this one loss. He'll be fine. Cody needed this win, I think. Every bit as much, if not more, than Archer did. Now, you could say, well, Cody's a made man. He didn't really need it. Cody has lost more than he's won when it comes to big matches. Again, he lost to Jericho. He lost to MJF. His wife was dry humped in the ring by Jake Roberts a few weeks ago on TV. He had to get his revenge. And I think he's a good guy to have as your first champion, because now he's a big name in AEW. And now he can go on TV, not every week, defend the title. And, you know, my plan, my idea, all of this builds to the eventual match, the rematch with him and Darby Allin, and Darby finally gets his win over Cody. He has not been able to beat this guy. They've had 3 matches. He's lost 2. They tied in 1. He's got to win at some point. I think Darby would be a great fit for that TNT title. Who better for him to win it from than Cody? The story sells itself. That's the direction to go in. So I love it. I think Cody winning is the right move to make. Even though you could say Cody's kind of been acting like a heel, in a way, last few weeks, but still, I think he was the right choice. Let us play catch-up. Garrus Vicarian, thank you for the $5. Dry chicken without flavor, back in the chat, back with us tonight. Says that last match wasn't disappointing. That's an interesting way of complimenting the match. I agree. The last match was not disappointing. Kalios, thank you for the $20. I think it was 20. Appreciate that. Food Hive, thank you for the $5. Lord Frieza, hope you're doing well tonight. Always good to hear from you. Has to leave early because his kid has to get some sleep. Oh, wake him up. Or wake her up. She should be watching this right now. What's wrong with you? What kind of parent are you? Gotta wake her up and sit her down in front of the computer or the TV. Oh, no, tell me in the chat, by the way, how are you watching this right now? I'm always curious. Like, are most people watching it on their phone? Do you guys watch these streams or other podcasters' streams on your computer? Do you watch it on your TV? Just curious. Just curious how it looks. That's all. I changed a few things tonight, settings-wise, so hopefully everything is playing okay for you guys. Hey, Cheeseburger, thank you for the $10, man. I really appreciate that. Also, not a fan of the TNT title. Yeah, they're not done with it, so give them some time. We got a medical update from Dr. Samson, the guy who saved Jerry Lawler's life, right? Great Dr. Samson. He gave us a medical update on Britt Baker. Britt Baker, DMD. Now, here's the list of injuries. I don't know if these are exaggerated. I don't know if these are just phony injuries. Maybe they're all real. Maybe it's a shoot. I don't know. The way they were kind of portraying this, it could go either way. This could be a work, or she could be really hurt. And she's going to be out for a little while, and they're just going to have her, you know, they're going to play up the heel persona on TV. Interior tibia fracture. Ligament tear. And a small tendon tear. I didn't hear torn ACL. That's good. That's a good thing. Because watching that, I thought for sure this woman tore her ACL. You tear your ACL, you're gone. You're done for at least 6 months. That's a tough injury to come back from. So doesn't sound like an ACL injury, so at least that's a good thing. Now, he made a very odd comment. He said, the injury is not as bad as the patient. Who says that? What kind of doctor says something like that? What kind of terrible doctor do you have to be to make a comment like, if my doctor went out and said, well, you know, his leg injury isn't so bad, but he's really a prick. He wouldn't be my doctor anymore. No wonder WWE got rid of this guy. I thought that was very inappropriate. Anyway, she's going to be on Dynamite Wednesday night. She's going to make some kind of announcement about her return, when she's going to be back. So we'll know then. We'll know then how much of a work it is. So with her out, replacing her was Penelope Ford. In there against Chris Statlander, substituting one heel for the other. They tried. There was no story going into this match. There was at least some kind of a little issue going into it, you know, before with Britt Baker and Statlander. Here it was just, you know, here's the substitute. No story, no nothing. So it was tough. You know, Statlander hit a tope out to the floor early on both her and Kip Sabian. Face first. She went face first into the barricade. That looked rough. Statlander blocked what was kind of a weak-looking back handspring. Hit a blue thunder bomb. Big Bang Theory for the win. So, you know, it was a competitive match, but it went maybe, I don't know, five or six minutes maybe. Not much to it, and couldn't really get into it because, again, there was no story going into it. It was just a match. Sean Spears, speaking of which. Sean Spears. Out in a suit for his match against Dustin Rhodes, who I guess he thought wasn't going to come out because he thought Dustin was retired or something, I guess, after he, you know, lost to Lance Archer all those weeks ago. Played his music, didn't come out. Played his music again, out comes Brandy, who is very much not Dustin. Dustin sneaks up. She's a decoy. Dustin sneaks up from behind, and we have a match. Spears is not in his gear. He's in a suit. He's in a dress shirt, and that's how he's wrestling. Cody beats him up. He strips the suit off of him. He pulls down his boxer briefs. He reveals his bare ass, starts spanking him. Yeah, this was great entertainment, let me tell you. That's exactly what I wanted to see here in this match. This pay-per-view would not have been complete without me seeing Sean Spears' bare ass on TV, being spanked by his father. Probably old enough to be his father. If Dustin had his child very young, he would be old enough to be his father. For some reason, and I only know this because they zoomed in on it. He had the image of Tully Blanchard's face on his crotch. It was printed on his underwear. Maybe WWE was onto something, letting this guy go. Final reckoning by Dustin for the win. The best thing I can say about this is that it was short. This sucked. End of story. Don't have anything else to say about it. Oofman Entertainment, we got Oofman in the chat. Shout out to all the wrenches in the chat. You guys are doing God's work, let me tell you. Tim DeWolf, was that Pineapple Pete as the mascot? I don't know. That's a good question. He was in the crowd, I think. Could have been. They taped the match, so it's possible. Kevin, oh my God. Thank you, Kevin. $5. Dry chicken without flavor. Shane Adam Hughes. Magnanimous Leonard Burnley. That is quite the name with the $1.99. Magnanimous Leonard Burnley. Dry chicken without flavor says we need a Mike Tyson reaction super chat. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe Tyson yawning. Yeah, that could be that. That could be. I might be able to do that. I might be able to pull that off. Just remind me in case I forget. JWD, thank you for the $2. DHV smoking trees with the 20. First time super chatter. Kind of disliked that almost all the heels lost. Well, look, can't win them all. You got to put the baby faces over. I will say I expected the Inner Circle to win. So that kind of surprised me. I thought maybe we'd get, a revival appearance. Because you know they're coming in. It's just a matter of time. That would have been an interesting spot to do it. They chose not to. When the show was over, I wasn't thinking, man, all the heels lost. It felt right. A lot of the outcomes did feel right to me. F-Banked, thank you for the $5. He's looking forward to when AEW can hold an event at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I would have loved to have gone to one of those shows. If they come back now, I ain't going to be there. I ain't going. Maybe in a couple of years, I'll be there. We got an ad for the All Out pay-per-view coming up September 5th. So that's Labor Day weekend. Normally, they'd be in Chicago at the Sears Center. I can't imagine they're going to be able to run a show there this year. They did not announce a location, so they're keeping it open-ended. Keeping their options open, I should say. Nyla Rose and Hikaru Shida. No disqualifications for the AEW Women's Championship. I thought this was the best AEW Women's match in a long time. I enjoyed this match. And more than a good women's match, I just thought it was a good match. You don't even have to say, oh, the women's match. It's a good match. Nyla held up her end, but Hikaru Shida, Shida's great. When it comes to the women, Shida is the best they got. Shida was out there wearing Final Fantasy-inspired gear. Somebody said to me, oh, she's wearing video game gear. I go, really? What video game? He said, Final Fantasy VII. I said, I'll take your word for it. I haven't played Final Fantasy VII. Maybe somebody could let me know what character she was playing. But apparently she was cosplaying as a character from Final Fantasy. So they brawled outside. There was a lot of plunder. The giant poker chips were out there. And Shida had blocked a beast bomb, came back, bunch of knee strikes. There was an avalanche falcon arrow at one point by Shida. That was pretty cool. Only a near fall out of it. She went for the running knee strike, went for the Shining Wizard, and Nyla caught her in the knee. So as she's coming in, there had been a kendo stick introduced into the match, Tifa. Okay, thank you. That's the name of the character from the game? Is it Tifa? All right, Tifa. I guess Tifa is the character from the game. I haven't played the game, so I don't know. The last game like that I played was probably Resident Evil 2. And I don't remember the name of the character from that either. I just remember there was one scene in the game that scared me for life. Or scarred me for life. I entered a hallway. There were windows. When I walked into the hallway, the music in the background stopped. And I said, well, that's kind of odd. Why did the music stop? So I'm walking along, and as I'm walking along, a giant dog jumps through the window. I scream like the biggest girl you've ever heard in your life. You've never heard me scream like this before. So that's enough Resident Evil for me. Let the Umbrella Corporation do whatever they want. This ain't worth it. So she went for the running knee. Nyla caught her with the kendo stick right in the knee. Tried again. Hit the knee. Nyla kicked out. I said, well, that's it. Obviously, Nyla's going to win. She keeps kicking out of her finish. She keeps kicking out of the knee strike over and over again. I wanted Sheeta to win. But I predicted Nyla to win because it just felt to me like, still very early in her title run, I could see them wanting her just to go on a monster tear until some other babyface comes along and takes the championship from her. I was happy to be wrong. There was a vicious kendo stick shot to the head by Sheeta. Another knee strike to the face. And Hikaru effing Sheeta wins the AEW Women's Championship. I was so happy. So happy to be wrong in my prediction on this match. I really was shocked. I really was shocked that they changed the title here. I didn't think they would do it. And look, I don't know if they did it because of the Hanakimura tragedy. They were talking about how they were friendly and it was a very emotional week for her. It's possible that they did. It's possible they changed the outcome of the match, you know, because of that, for more of a feel-good moment. I kind of hope not, just because my hope would be that they realized, they looked on paper and said, Sheeta is the best that we have. And she is. In terms of that women's division right now, Hikaru Sheeta is the best that they have. Hikaru Sheeta can go in there and have great matches with anybody. Like she did tonight with Nyla. She should be the women's champion. Now she is. I thought it was the right outcome. No complaints from me. I thought it was the right outcome. Sean Waters, what's going on, man? $25. Thank you. Thank you very much. My goodness, always tuning into my Sound Off extras. Rocco Sandwiches says, will the podcast be 4 hours tomorrow? My goal tomorrow is to get the podcast under 3. I just wish we had happier stuff to talk about. There's so much death, I mean, my God, between Shad and Kimura and Larry Zonka and Owen Hart. I have a lot to say about Owen Hart, that whole story. It's a lot to take in. But no, the podcast will not be 4 hours tomorrow. Jose Palacios, thank you for the 5. And BWT56, thank you, man. Thank you very much. Who are the people sitting in the corner sections of what? I don't know what that means. Corner sections of what? And Crash, thank you for the 2. You should record a playthrough of Outlast. I think I'm pretty sure this laptop would explode. This laptop would explode. I mean, it's having a heart attack when I stream. I've had this thing 4 years. I could already sense that we may be nearing the end very soon. I think if I tried to play that game on here, it wouldn't make it. There's no way. There's no way it would survive. So John Moxley, let us talk about the main events. John Moxley defending the AEW World Championship against Brody Lee. They build this as the first of 2 main events on this show. Now, I said coming into this, this did not feel to me like a real pay-per-view main event. And evidently, based on the match order, they felt the same way, because this match did not end the show. And really, when you look at what we got in the main event, the match order was perfect. I would not have ended with this either, not with that stadium match on the same card. But it was telling that they did not headline the show with their world title match, because to me, it never felt like a pay-per-view-worthy main event. I never would have put Brody in the spot yet anyway. But my hope coming into it was he's got to go out there and have a really good match because this is a big spot for him. There's a lot of people who think this guy's mid-card at best. He was right where he belonged in WWE. He doesn't deserve to be sniffing the world title picture in any company. This was an opportunity for him to go out and to prove those people wrong and to prove, hey, listen, I got something to offer here. I can hang at this level. I'm good enough to hang at this level. And you know what? I think he went out there tonight, and I think he proved a lot. This match was a battle. This match felt like a war. These guys beat the hell out of each other. Brody had to go out there and show that he belonged, and I think he did. I think he proved some people wrong tonight. They built to the big spot, which was a paradigm shift. So they have the stage, right? And there's some steps, and then you have the rampway. So it's not like a huge drop. I mean, we're not talking a gigantic drop here. But we had the paradigm shift off the stage, down a few steps, through the rampway. So they gimmicked it up. They fell right through, down to the ground. And they sold it like these guys were dead. Moxley eventually emerged from the hole first. Brody Lee was next. He came up, blood all over his face, wearing the crimson mask. So he crawls into the ring. Another paradigm shift. Lee kicks out at one. Strong style kick out. He kicks out at one. Elevated paradigm shift, spikes him on his head, goes for the pin. Again, he kicks out. Not a big fan of killing the guy's finish. But again, they're showing that Brody Lee can kick out of the champion's finish. They're putting him over strong. And then we got to the finish, which I actually liked a lot. You know, Moxley, who is in this new cage fighter, MMA movie. I don't know if the finish here was kind of a play off of that. Him doing, using a submission hold to win the match. But he locks Lee in a rear naked choke. Lee's turning blue. He goes out. Referee calls for the match to be called off. And Jon Moxley retains. Submission win for Jon Moxley. They keep the champion. And again, here's why I liked it. Here's why I thought this was a good finish. Keeps the title on Moxley, which they had to. That was the right outcome. You want to keep that title on Moxley. This was not the time to beat him for the belt. This was not the right person to beat him for it. So Moxley wins, but you protect Brody by not pinning him. These guys beat the piss out of each other. And the only reason he lost is because he passed out. He didn't get pinned. He didn't tap out. He didn't run away. He passed out. And that, to me, it protects him. Everybody comes out of this looking good. Everybody comes out of this looking like $1 million. It's a big win for Moxley. That was a good finish. But it was a big win all around. I thought this was good stuff. Before we get to that main event, Gavin Amy, thank you for the super chat, Gavin. I always see Gavin in some of these live streams. Always good to see you, my friend. As we approach 1 a.m., here on the East Coast. I got to wake up and do a podcast in a few hours. So I hope you guys will... I hope you got some free time tomorrow, because you're going to have a big podcast. So you better be listening. But let's get to the main event. We have the Stadium Stampede. This is the match I was looking forward to the most. It sucks that they haven't been able to do the Blood and Guts match. I was looking forward to Blood and Guts. I do hope at some point they can get that match in. So this was kind of like the next best thing. Let's have some kind of big, crazy match with the Inner Circle and the Elite. This was taped last night. This was not live. So this match was taped last night. Apparently they were filming all the way until 5 a.m. this morning. And there were a lot of people raving internally about this match. They loved it. They thought this match is so great. That's probably why they put it on last. So it was kind of cinematic style. It was kind of filmed a similar way to Money in the Bank. Not exactly, but, it felt like one of those cinematic matches. We had Matt Hardy with the Elite, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks taking on the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz. Pinfalls count anywhere in the stadium. They had a ring at the 50-yard line, TIAA Field, the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. See, AEW got their stadium show. People have asked me, when is AEW going to get a stadium show? Well, they got one tonight. They got to run a stadium for the first time. Now, granted, it is $0 gate, attendance of zero, but they got their stadium show. So there you go. Now you know what it's like to watch AEW in a stadium show. So like I said, ring at the 50-yard line. They had cheerleaders. They had a band. They had people, you know, the percussionist playing the drums. They had a mascot. We'll talk about him in a little bit. So the heels got football entrances, all members of the Inner Circle. They got the individual football entrances coming through the smoke. They're all wearing uniforms and tights, and Ortiz and Sammy had helmets. Sammy had a football in his hand. Hager was out there looking like he could play football. He probably did. I'm guessing Hager played football probably in high school or college, I'm guessing. He looks like he could have played. I'm watching this thinking, man, it's the Raw Bowl. We had one Raw Bowl. It's on Monday Night Raw in 1996. And here we are over 20 years later. We have the AEW version of the Raw Bowl, only we're in an actual stadium this time. So Jericho, they said, was wearing the same number on his jersey as the number his father wore in the NHL. Matt Jackson had tape around his ribs from an injury, legitimate injury apparently, that he sustained at the end of Dynamite on Wednesday when he did that dive. That was their big comeback, and apparently he got hurt. His first night back. Aubrey Edwards, she's the official. She blows the whistle. They all come together. They all collide midfield. And again, we're off and running. Again, falls count anywhere. I'm watching this thing. Why is there even a ring in midfield? They're just going to brawl on the field. Why do you even have a ring? It seems kind of pointless to set the ring up midfield if you're not going to use the ring. Although they did. They used the ring a little bit. But we got to talk about this. So I was a big fan of Sammy Guevara taking, I mean, it was scary, but big fan of him taking that bump a few weeks ago off the golf cart. Just the way he sold it and everything, it was comically insane. Very entertaining. Sammy has been great. And Hangman's great. I'm a big fan of Hangman Page, and, you know, I think that, you could, again, he and Darby Allin were really building a lot of momentum, and the fans were just reacting to these guys like they were superstars, like they were megastars. And then all of this happened, and Hangman's been sitting on his ass at home for the last 2 months. And I'm like, man, he's just losing momentum. You got to get this guy back on TV. Well, he was back on TV tonight. Sammy's on the field, and he looks up. What does he see off in the distance? What does Sammy Guevara see off in the distance? Well, I'll show you what he sees. I will show you what Sammy Guevara sees off in the distance. What Sammy Guevara sees off in the distance is Hangman Page on a horse, riding a horse, chasing Sammy Guevara down the field and into the locker room. Sammy was running for his life. He already got run over with the golf cart. Tony Schiavone said now he's going to get run over with a horse. I don't know what's funnier looking at this picture. The sight of Sammy Guevara running for his life or the giant Dick's Wings sign. I just noticed that. Dick's Wings. Is that a Florida thing? Is that a Jacksonville thing? A Southern thing? I've never heard of Dick's Wings before. I'll have to try Dick's Wings one day when I'm back down in Florida. But just look at the absurdity of this photo and try. Just tell me that this photo does not look entertaining to you. Look at the absurdity of this photo. This was fantastic. I thought this was great. I love this. So some of the other highlights here. We had Matt Jackson with a moonsault off the goalpost at one point. They all brawled up into the stands. Hangman was still on his horse in the back, looking for Sammy. Now, Sammy had already made his way back out onto the field. Hangman's in the back on his horse, looking for this guy, saying, Sammy, where are you, Sammy? So he stops. He gets off the horse, says, you stay. And he walks down the corridor towards the bar, because this is a man that has his priorities in check. So off he goes to the bar, and they flash back to the action. And everybody else has made their way up onto the concourse level by the concessions, and they're just brawling. And Santana and Ortiz, they take Matt Hardy, and they throw him into the swimming pool. And I'm thinking to myself, why is there a swimming pool there? And then it kind of reminds me, what was it, Chase Field? Was it Chase Field or Petco Field? I forget which one. It was when they had the Royal Rumble last year, the first time in the baseball stadium. They had like a pool. Apparently it was closed. I was kind of hoping they would use it for something. But apparently they have a they also have a swimming pool in the back. If you have enough money, you can pay for access to the swimming pool. God only knows how much it must cost, but apparently at the stadium they have that as well. You can pay, you can lounge by the pool, you can watch a Jaguars game. It's better than a Jets game. So they throw him into the pool and they're trying to drown him. And they put Matt under the water. They have a camera. They have an underwater camera so we can see Matt's reaction under the water. And when they pull him, now it's 3 feet of water in this pool. They bring him back up and it's regular Matt Hardy. They put him back under the water. Matt looks into the camera, gives the cheesy thumbs up, comes back up. Each time he would come back up as one of his different personas. They put a Matt fact on the screen. Remember the old Mattitude facts when he was doing his Matt Hardy version 1 gimmick in WWE many years ago? So they had a takeoff of that here in this match. They had the Matt fact on the screen. Excalibur, you know, each time he's coming up as a different version of Matt Hardy. Excalibur says it must be water from the Lake of Reincarnation from the Hardy compound. So Matt takes Ortiz, he duct tapes him to a wheelchair, or the chair of wheels, I'm sorry. Duct tapes him to the chair of wheels. He takes Santana, he stuffs him into an ice machine. So Santana and Ortiz have been indisposed. Hager is roaming the halls. He's looking for Hangman. So what does he do? He goes to the bar. He's no dummy. He goes to the bar, and there he is. There's Hangman sitting at the bar having a drink. And Hager sits down next to him, and Hangman pours him a drink. And then, of course, it turns into a bar fight. And they're brawling on top of the pool table. Kenny Omega comes in. He grabs a little bit of the bubbly, smashes it over Hager's head. They're beating up Jake Hager. There was a buckshot lariat spot where Omega bent over. And he did the buckshot, you know, the springboard off of Omega. He clotheslined Hager over the bar, poured himself a drink. Actually, I think it was Omega poured him a drink. And we had Hangman poured him a glass of milk. Was there alcohol? I didn't see him put alcohol in there. So he was just drinking milk. So whatever. I guess whatever floats your boat. Anyway, they cut back to the field. So now we see the Jaguars mascot. Jackson DeVille, Sonya DeVille, whatever. So Jackson DeVille is the mascot. Jericho's confronting the mascot, gives him the Judas effect. Knocks out the mascot. I thought that was great. Anytime the mascot takes a bump, that's always a good thing. So Matt Jackson, meanwhile, he's giving Sammy Guevara a whole series of suplexes down the field. He's giving him Northern Lights suplexes all the way down the field. 10 yards, 20 yards, 30, 40, 50, 60. Until finally he makes it to the end of the field, which we'll get to. But first, Chris Jericho goes for a pin. I think it was on Nick Jackson. Nick kicks out. Jericho says, no, no. He objects to this. He challenges the play. So this is where it got a little goofy, but whatever. It's all in good fun. So he challenges the play. He wants a replay. Aubrey Edwards says, okay, we got to go into the replay booth. So they have this little blue tarp. She goes into the replay booth with Jericho. Jericho goes in there with her. The play on the field stands. Jericho calls her, what do you call her? He called her a shitty referee. Because you're a shitty referee. Matt Jackson finally makes it to the end zone with Sammy. Suplexes him into the end zone. He's celebrating. Rick Knox is there. Referee Rick Knox. He throws a flag, calls a foul, whatever, and he assesses a 15-yard penalty to Matt Jackson for excessive celebration. So in response, he super kicks Rick Knox because he's an executive VP, so he can do that. He's an executive in the company. He can do whatever he wants. People forget this. So Jericho is placed on top of a table. And Nick Jackson, and Matt's holding him. Nick Jackson runs up into the stands, and he's running up the stairs, jogging leisurely up the stairs. Where's he going? Jogging and jogging and jogging, and finally he stops, and he turns around. He wanted to build up some speed. And he runs all the way back down the stairs and does a dive. Big splash. Out of the stands, down through Jericho on the table. Hangman comes, he rolls the line marker. It looks like a lawnmower. Runs the line marker right over Jericho's body, over his face. Jericho's got the white line over himself. The sprinkler system goes off. It wakes up Sammy. Sammy thinks he's won. I won! He thinks he won the match. But not so fast. Because here comes Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy in the golf cart. And Sammy is having horrible flashbacks to what happened a few weeks ago. And here we go again. And he goes running down the field. And here comes Omega. And Matt Hardy always has this crazy look on his face. And so they're chasing. And Sammy is making just a mad dash down the field. He jumps up into the stands. He starts tossing chairs onto the field to try to keep them away. Sammy Guevara is a national treasure. He is one of the most fun parts of these shows and these matches and these skits. Even his vlogs. Like, he's just an entertaining guy. He has taken the opportunity that has been given to him. As a member of Chris Jericho's faction, that spot could have gone to anybody. That spot could have gone to Kip Sabian, it could have gone to Darby Allin, it could have gone to any number of people. He has taken advantage of that spot. He has become one of the most, really one of the most fun, I think, just personalities on the entire show. One of the fastest rising stars that they have in that entire company. He was fantastic in this match. He's in the stands, he's threatening to kill Matt Hardy. I'm going to kill you. Flat out says it over and over. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. All of a sudden, Vanguard One's little brother, what are they calling him anyway? I guess the new drone has a new name. I didn't get the new name. But there's a new drone. And they set up the big spot, the big finale here. Kenny Omega's up in the stands. He gives Sammy a one-winged angel. All the way down, they had a bunch of cardboard, you know, boxes down below. And, I mean, they went quite a distance. I don't know how far they fell. They probably fell a good 15 feet. Crashed right down through the boxes, pinned Sammy Guevara, and so the Elite get the win. They give Matt Hardy the Gatorade bath, the ice bath on the field, and the good guys win. The Elite celebrates on the field. This was insanity, but in a very comical fashion. It was a little bit goofy, just like Money in the Bank. And I know there were some people that didn't like the Money in the Bank matches either. You know, they're not, you know, oh, Neo, thank you. Neo 1, I guess that's the name of it. Neo 1, like Neo Geo. Okay, so the new drone is called Neo. Why Neo 1? Shouldn't it be Neo 2? Well, whatever. So Neo 1, there you go. Now we know. I thought this was great. I had a lot of fun watching this. That's how I grade these things. When it's over, did I have fun or was it a slog to get through? I had fun. I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. And look, Chris Jericho went on Twitter and said in the 30 years he's been in the wrestling business, this is like the greatest thing he's ever done. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was like the most fun he ever had. I could see why. Think about it. These guys had the run of the football stadium. This is an NFL stadium. And they were able to go out there in the middle of the night with nobody else around and tear the place up and act silly and stupid and just beat the hell out of each other. You know, what could be more fun than that? But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys disagreed. Let's find out. Let's see what you guys think. Let us check out the poll. Let us check out the poll. Well, I'm not wrong. It's an opinion, you say. No, it's a fact. This main event was great. Very entertaining. 2,000 votes in so far, 87% thumbs up. 13% thumbs down. I know not everybody watching this right now, or if you're live on the stream, not everybody watched the pay-per-view. You know, there are some people who are watching right now who just want to find out what happened. Maybe you didn't want to pay the $50 for the show. Maybe you're planning on watching it later, looking for a recommendation. My recommendation is it's worth your time. I don't feel like I was cheated out of my money. It is a lot of money, especially with everything going on. That's why I appreciate everybody with the super chats. You know, these are tough times for some people. But if you're on the fence about whether or not you should go back and watch it, I had a good time. I had fun watching the show overall. And I think for the main event alone, honestly, the main event alone really, really made this show. But Cody and Archer, good match. MJF, very good match. Shida, winning the championship, right move to make. Big fan of that move. Really happy they did that. So I have to give this a thumbs up. This show to me cannot be anything but a thumbs up show. But if you have not voted, please do so. At Solomonster, poll's going to be open for another 72 hours. I usually keep the pay-per-view polls up for about 3 days. So when you're done watching the show, go back, check it out, and let me know what you think. Hey, Gavin, Amy, thank you for the second Super Chat. He has been a fan of the show, he says, for over 8 years. Apparently, he's also a fan of the Glasgow Rangers. I didn't know there was a team in Glasgow called the Rangers. We have the Rangers here in New York. But I appreciate that. The Glasgow Rangers. Awesome. All right. Let's go to Vegas. 702.
Hey, how's it going, Solomonster?
I'm good. What did you think of the pay-per-view tonight?
It was great, honestly. I had tickets for the Vegas show, and honestly, I was a little hesitant about buying the pay-per-view.
All right, but in the end, you don't regret it, right? You feel like you got your money's worth, or do you not?
I do, actually. I really liked it. I was $50 still, you know?
What was the matches on the show, let's boil it down to your favorite. What was the one match you thought was the best match of the card?
I really like the Stampede match.
Stampede match? I think there's going to be a lot of people who agree with you about that. I think that's going to be a common consensus here. Anything else about the show specifically?
Well, I do have two quick points to
okay,
make.
Go ahead,
I really
make
them.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I really like that set design, even with the poker chips and like the blackjack table.
I always love it. It's a shame they couldn't do it in Vegas, but the fact that they had the slot machines in the background, they had the giant poker chips. I like those when they have those themes, the sets. It's like what WWE used to do when they had theme pay-per-views. I like that. I like the fact that they basically brought Vegas to Jacksonville. I appreciate that. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I don't know how much they would have been able to do with a fill-up arena. So that's actually a good trade-off in a way.
Sure. And what was the other point you wanted to make?
It's kind of an odd one, but I really like to see like a wrestler whenever they're beginning their career, from the moment they start all the way to like they hit the big time in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Sammy Hingman and even Kevin Cross and the other company.
Sure.
You know, I've watched them since they started, and it's always a pleasure to see them evolve and getting some spot, you know, some time in the light.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's always good to see good people get opportunities in these companies. We're seeing it with Killer Cross right now in NXT, him and Scarlett, you know, her too. But, you know, people like Darby and Sammy and Hangman, to me, those are the three that stand out. MJF, too. This is the young core of AEW. These are the guys that hopefully in a year or 2 years from now, they'll be wrestling for the championship. And guys like Jericho and Matt Hardy, if they're still there, can, you know, be in another role. But you got to build for the future. That's what they're doing with those guys. They're building for the future. They're slowly building MJF up. They're slowly building Hangman Page up. Darby is going to be a star. Sammy, he's going to be a star. So I like that youthful core of guys that they have. And they're over. People like them. So that's good. That's good news for AEW as far as their future. 707.
Well, it was good, Solomonster. Good evening.
Good evening.
How's it going?
I'm good. What'd you think of the show tonight?
I'm one of the people that didn't even saw the show. I just haven't just been watching.
You didn't see the show?
I had a question. No, sir. No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, do you have a question related to AEW in some way?
Not necessarily to AEW, but just kind of like just RFP for Chad Gaspar. I'm just kind of asking just for the top of my head. what is your, like, your three favorite matches from Shad Gaspar's career and his wrestling? Just, that'll be it. Thank you.
Sure.
Have a good night.
You too. Three matches. I mean, look, here's the thing with Crime Time. They were never really put in a position to have a big program in WWE. Obviously, I remember when they got put together with John Cena and they got to team with him for a match or two. But they never really had like a big run. The big program they had was really the matches they had with Kate and Murdoch. You know, and JTG in his book talked about some of the issues they had. They did not get along. They had issues between those two teams, and you know, it wasn't always a pleasant experience, but they never really got that big run in WWE. And when Shad went single and turned on JTG, they had a strap match on TV. I think they had a second match. Shad, they didn't do much with him. You know, I think they sent him back down, I think, and then he was gone. So it's kind of unfortunate to say, but when you think about his career, you know, there isn't that one big match, you know, that really stands out. He never really got that opportunity to have that big match. 248.
Hey, Solomon, how are you doing?
I'm good. What'd you think of the show tonight? Or did you see the pay-per-view? Let me put the message out there. I want to take calls from people who saw the pay-per-view. So if you saw or you have a question about the pay-per-view, that's great. I don't really want to talk about WWE or anything else. So let's try to keep it focused on that. But go ahead.
I actually did watch pay-per-view tonight. I thought I enjoyed it thoroughly, except for the Dustin Rhodes and Shawn Spears match. I really felt that was just...
That was a waste. That was time filler. That's all it was. It was pure time filler. It was a waste. It was the worst thing on the entire show.
And that match actually leads me to my question about Shawn Spears. I felt this when he was in WWE, and I still feel it when he's in AEW. Do you think he has a role in either company as a main eventer? Because I've just never seen it with him anywhere but above a mid-card.
Shawn Spears? You're talking about Shawn Spears?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No, and the thing with Shawn Spears was, you know, it was a matter of he wasn't getting a lot of television time in WWE, and there were a lot of people who thought, yeah, this guy's pretty good. Why isn't he getting an opportunity? And obviously he felt the same way because he wanted to leave. He was lucky. They gave him his release. He was the last guy after, you know, him and Dustin. After that, they kind of, like, the gate closed. I picture it like a movie where they're trying to escape, right, and the door's coming down. He was the last guy out, and everybody else was trapped, and the gate came down, and that was when things started really bubbling up with AEW, and they weren't letting anybody go. Moxley left because his contract ran out. Spears got out. He wanted an opportunity. Well, AEW was giving him an opportunity, and, you know, I think he can be a good utility player. I still feel like they haven't really gone as far as they could as far as him and Tully. And now with everything going on, Tully's older, they probably don't, or maybe he's elected not to come for safety reasons, which is cool, that's fine. But I don't see him at a high level like that, no. Because they have too many good guys on that roster. It's not a matter of, oh, he sucks. It's a matter of, some people just don't rise to that elite level. And that's okay. Not everybody can be at the very top of the card. Not everybody can be wrestling for the world championship. They've got a solid core of veterans and young guys. Shawn Spears doesn't really fit into that upper echelon. Doesn't fit. Could he go to a smaller company or an independent company and be a world champion? Yeah, sure, probably. But in WWE and AEW, it's not going to happen. I don't see it. They have plenty of other guys ahead of him who should be in that position. Everybody, you know, not everybody is going to make it to that level. You know, Zack Ryder comes to AEW. I'm sure there's a role for him on the show, but should he be challenging for the championship? No. Because I don't see him at that level. I didn't see him at that level in WWE either. All he wanted was a push. All he wanted was an opportunity. But not everybody is going to be the world champion. 518.
Hey, Solomon. How's it going?
Good.
I was just wondering, obviously you didn't see the revival on tonight's show, and you didn't see Drew Gulak as well. You know, in your predictions, you said, you know, the revival in the main event could potentially be a possibility, but do you see AEW maybe bringing in guys like Cardona, Gulak, and maybe the revival as maybe a faction in AEW, or do you see them potentially debuting as, you know, individuals.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I don't like that idea. I don't like this idea that we're bringing all the WWE guys in together like they're invading. I think that's a terrible idea. I think it's handicapping them. They should be able to... Look, if some of these guys feel that they were being held back in WWE, right? Or that maybe they don't even have bad things to say. I mean, look, Zack Ryder got... How many years was he there? 14 years? Something like that? 15 years? He had a good run. Was he always pushed, you know, at the level he should have been when he was really kind of peaking in popularity? No. But he had a good run. But if these guys want to break away and prove that I can get over on my own, you can't just lump them all together. They should all have their own stories. Now, maybe Cardona comes in with Hawkins. Maybe they kind of stick together. But no, I mean, the Revival, if they come in, they've got a ready-made program with the Young Bucks. They should go off and do their own thing. They don't need to be part of a faction. Although I think a manager would work. See, that's a team that needs an old-school manager. And the thing that stinks is, if he didn't shoot his mouth off all the time, Jim Cornette would be the perfect person. You talk about getting heat. Now, they shouldn't touch him, and he has no interest in going there. But in some other alternate universe, it would be Jim Cornette managing them against the Young Bucks, or as he calls them, the Young Fucks. And there you go. You got your program on TV. But that's a pipe dream. That ain't going to happen. 615.
615? Hey, Solid Monster.
Hey. Hello? I'm going to move on. Let's go to... I think this might be an international caller. Is this from the land down under?
Hey, Jason. It's Jake from Sydney, Australia.
Hey, Jake.
Caught the show tonight, and overall I thought it was very good. I particularly liked the main event, and I thought, you know what, the thing about it is that I think why a lot of people really, it's just that it's something different, and people are kind of just sick of the same formulaic thing over and over again. And it was nice just to see something different. I think that's really why this, as well as the Firefly Funhouse match and also the Boneyard match, a lot of people found really, really great. So that's just all I have to say.
Yeah, cinematic matches. I mean, you don't want to overdo them, but the cinematic matches that we've gotten so far, I've enjoyed. I mean, the main ones are the Boneyard match, and I really enjoyed the one tonight. Money in the Bank I liked, but if I had to rank them, I'd probably... It's tough. I might put Boneyard 1. I might put this 2. And then 3. Maybe the Cena match. Maybe the Funhouse match. Then the Money in the Bank ones. I think there's a place for them. You can't do them every month. That's the whole problem. But I'm all for doing more cinematic matches. You know, maybe a few more of them this year. Why not? I think that would be a fine idea.
I also have a quick question for you. I didn't catch the stream earlier, but what do you think they're going to do about the Blood and Guts match?
I think what they're doing is they're waiting to see if they can do it in Newark. I think they really want to go back to Jersey. They had 14,000 tickets out for that show, and they had promised those people a Blood and Guts match, which is, you know, their War Games match. They've rescheduled the Newark date for July. There's no way they're going to be able to go to Newark in July. I mean, I live in New York, so I'm right next door to Jersey. There ain't no way they're going to have that show in Newark, which is, I mean, it will probably be 2 months from now, about 2 months. It's not going to happen. So if they insist and they want to do it in Newark, they're going to have to push it back. I think they're just going to keep pushing it back until they can get people in the building. I don't think they want to do that match without people in the building. And to be honest with you, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And you know what? They don't have to. And I'll tell you why. If they want to do Matt Hardy and the Elite against the Inner Circle, we already got it tonight. I'm not even sure you need to do it again. Maybe they'll have different people in it by the time they get to it. But if you're going to do Hardy and the Elite or the Elite against the Inner Circle for a second time, and maybe this time the Inner Circle goes over, you just did this one. This bought you some time. You can wait 6 months before you do Blood and Guts. You don't have to do it right now. But things are going to look very different in 6 months, storyline-wise. By then, Hangman may have already broken away from Kenny Omega. a lot can happen in 6 months. You can't just freeze your storylines and wait. So I don't know. I don't know ultimately when they're going to do it, but I think that's what they're waiting for. I think they really want to do it if they can in Newark. 718. I know that area code. That's a Brooklyn number.
Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx. Oh, I how'd I get that wrong? All right, the Bronx. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so awesome pay-per-view up and down the card. It was awesome. Main event. 10 out of 10. One thing I wanted to see your thoughts on, Brian Cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, yeah, man. I think, you know, they should not give him the title match yet. They should have him run over a couple of guys. You know,
agree.
Build them up to the AEW audience. And then have them win at a big pay-per-view. Kind of sucks now that there's no fans because of the situation. But I'm pretty sure he would have got a really good pop, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All these guys. I mean, think about it. Brody Lee was going to debut in Rochester. It's Rochester. I'm going to get yelled at if I say Rochester. It's Rochester. He would have gotten a huge reaction there. Archer, when he debuted, Matt Hardy. When Matt Hardy appeared with Vanguard 1. All these guys missed out on that big pop from the crowd. And that's one of the things I miss about wrestling. When you have those moments where somebody shows up or it's a big surprise debut and people are shocked, right? Or people going, I mean, imagine having The Undertaker lose to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. The streak ends, right? In an empty building. Imagine if they did that match in the Performance Center. You think people would still be talking about that match right now? I mean, the streak would have been broken, but it would not have had the same kind of impact without the audience there. You need that audience to play off of. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be safe, but the sooner they can get people back in these buildings, you know, maybe in a few months, who knows, the better. Because I miss moments like that. We're missing out on a lot of good moments.
Yeah, especially the Matt Hardy debut in AEW. Man, that would have been an awesome pop.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the Elite chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jon Moxley and Brody Lee matches, you know, it definitely lived up to, well, I mean, going into it, you know, you didn't expect much, but, I mean, it was actually pretty good. What did you think about
it? Yeah, I said earlier, you know, it was a brawl. It felt like a fight between these two. I thought the finish was very smart because it really keeps Brody still protected. He didn't get pinned. It was a decisive win, but, you know, he went out. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in the way that he lost. He had a good showing. And now, you know, hopefully they'll just continue to build him up. He just wasn't ready, storyline-wise, and it was too soon to do that match. And hopefully he'll be fine, and he'll have the opportunity to, you know, do everything he wants to do, and we'll see what level he settles at. It might not be the world title. But I enjoyed that match. I enjoyed that match. That and the MJF one surprised me tonight. Let us go to 818. 818.
Yeah, Solo Monster is live now from California.
Hey, what's going on?
First time followers. Yeah, just trying to see. I saw the pay per view. It was a good show, top to bottom, minus the Dustin Rhodes and the, let's not forget his name. That wasn't that.
Well, that's a bad sign.
It was a forgettable match.
Well, poor Sean Spears. People don't even remember his name. What was your favorite match on the show?
The main event was a good match. The Jon Moxley Brody Lee match was good, but it's between those two matches. I like the spot they did on Jon Moxley and Brody Lee. They did the Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow from ECW.
That's
spot
right.
Where the,
yes,
the
yes.
Ramp broke.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I had actually forgotten about that. That's a good point. That was kind of a callback. That was kind of a callback to the finish in that match. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go to 615.
Shock, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How you doing, Solid Monster?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I had a few negatives I was going to ask you about. The first was I didn't think Brody should have kicked out of two paradigm shifts. I thought one was fine, two was too much.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, and, no, I said earlier I didn't like the fact that he kicked out of the guy's finish multiple times. I'm not really a huge fan of that, so yeah, I agree.
And then Well, I also think I'm glad Darby Allin and MJF are okay, because that, you know, those two spots were pretty nasty.
Well, I haven't checked actually to see if there's any kind of updates. I mean, unless someone's heard otherwise, hopefully they're okay. I haven't checked though.
But the one main question I had was, did you like putting the title on Shida? I thought the match was really good, but I think they've built something with Nyla, even though she's green. And I think they should have just kind of went with it for a while and just see where they go. What do you think about that?
No, I like it. I like the fact, I mean, Shida's the best they have. Again, why they chose to do it now, maybe there were certain circumstances that, you know, maybe they changed what the original finish was. I don't know. I have no issue with them doing the title change. Like you said, Nyla, she's still green. She's not going anywhere. You know, she'll be fine. She might even win the title back. You know, they might have a rematch next week. So I don't have an issue with that at all. I don't know what that noise was. I had to let you go. But yeah, I agree. I agree with the decision to put the title on Shida. It doesn't bother me at all. 770.
Hey, what's good, Solid Monster? This is John from Marietta, Georgia.
Hey, John.
So I just have like three questions. Not really like three. It's like two. So, who you think is next in line for the AEW title since Brody Lee's got X'd out? And then you got TNT, like, who you think's coming after Cody after tonight?
So you mean who's coming after Cody or who's coming after Moxley?
Well, both. My question.
I would think MJF is positioned, or should be anyway, positioned to go after Moxley. They might want to hold off on that a little bit. But he's beaten Cody. He beat Jungle Boy tonight. You know, maybe they want to have one more kind of like buffer program before he gets to Moxley. But to me, MJF would be next in line. I don't have the rankings in front of. Well, let's bring it up. Let me bring up the rankings. Because they actually do have rankings, believe it or not, that they incorporate into their storylines. And so if that's the case, we should probably see where the rankings stand. So, I don't know if this has been updated since the pay-per-view ended, but we will check the rankings for the men's division right now in AEW. Or maybe not. All right, so these are the rankings as of May 20th. Cody can't compete for the title, so that doesn't count. Lance Archer. Archer lost. Brody Lee was number 3. He lost. Kenny Omega and then Darby Allin. Yeah, it's tough. I wouldn't do those matches yet, so I don't know how they're going to get around that. I guess the only way to get around that is to have Brian Cage kind of cash in his opportunity, and he just debuted. You know, it feels way too soon to put him in that position, so that's a good question. I don't know who they're going to go with. I don't see MJF in the rankings anywhere. If it were me, though, I would do MJF. And as far as Cody, Cody should defend the title for a while against a whole bunch of different people. And if I'm him, I'm defending the title against some of those guys that aren't getting a lot of TV time. You know, don't forget, they got people like Jack Evans and Helico. I mean, there's guys that we never see, you know, or who only maybe show up on Dark. I mean, I don't even get to watch Dark every week either. So I would let him do, in a lot of ways, what John Cena did with the U.S. title. I think that would be a good idea. And have him beat people and try to elevate them in the process. But to me, Darby is the one. Darby's the one that you want to build to. Maybe it all out. You know, maybe September 5th. Maybe that's the time to do the match. And then Darby, finally, he gets that big win. And that title just seems to be, to me anyway, that title seems to be tailor-made for a guy like Darby Allin. So that is what I would do. Let me do a quick super chat. Check here. Hugh, you almost got me there. You almost got me. Hugh J, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. He was on the ball there with the super chat. Juan Ocampo, thank you. He says he's drunk as hell. Well, hey, I'm not going to hold it against you. Nothing wrong with that after a long night. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the 5. Appreciate that. And Inner Alchemist. Think is how you pronounce it. Thank you for the super chat. Let's take a few more and then we'll wrap up. I gotta get up and do a podcast in the morning. 781.
Solomonster.
That's me.
What's up, brother? I'm Martin from Boston. I've called him once or twice.
Hey, Martin.
But I always brought up Brody Lee. I say that was a solid match that didn't take away from either. I think you agreed. His character isn't fully there yet, but that was a solid match. One of the better AEW world title matches, I think, so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. By the way, for the people wondering, it was the name on the Super Chat. I just thought it was a little joke there, so I stopped short.
I think we know what it was going to be.
Yeah. I didn't even see the I should go back and see what the message was. But anyway, so what was the main kind of takeaway or main question coming out of the show?
I'm still finishing the main event to tell the truth. Looks like the Elite are wrapping it up. But how about Harper is in good shape. My comment is his thighs don't agree with his upper half. Does anyone agree?
Wait, on who? Say that again?
Harper. Brody Lee.
Oh, Harper.
Okay. His bottom half doesn't agree with his top half. That's one of my comments.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. His gear is very hit or miss each week. But, you know.
This is the best one so far.
It might have been. But sometimes, I don't know, I feel like it's hit or miss. But look, at least he's out of the wife beater in the jeans, right? So that's a good thing.
It is. But no, solid stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting this on.
Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that. Let us go to did that not work? Okay, that didn't work. Let's go to 631. Why don't we try that? 631.
Hey, Solomon, how's it going?
Good. How are you? You got to speak up a little bit so I can hear your voice.
About that.
There you go.
Sorry about that. I really liked the show tonight. I thought it was really good. I mean, I love the Stadium Stampede match. Well, I mean, basically every match was great except for the Sean Spears one. I like how Hikaru Shida came out as Tifa because Final Fantasy VII is one of my favorite games. But it was a very solid show, and I just have a question to ask you because I don't know if you're aware or so, but 5 minutes ago on like AEW's Twitter account, they did an interview with Brian Cage and Tony Khan. And Tony Khan said that Brian Cage is going to fight Moxley at Fighter Fest, which apparently there's going to be some sort of announcement regarding Fighter Fest on Dynamite this Wednesday, which is kind of weird because the CEO fighting game tournament got canceled or like delayed till December. So I don't know what's going to go on where a Fighter Fest is just going to be like a random Dynamite, most likely, but that's really all I had to ask you.
Well, I did not know that. So there you go. I guess they're going Brian Cage. So much for giving that some time. All right. Well, I guess there you go. That's the next, to answer the other caller's question, that's the next challenger for Jon Moxley's championship. It's going to be Brian Cage. I think it's a little too soon. Unless they're just going to put the title on him and give him the monster push. I don't know how I feel about that. I got to think about that a little bit. But yeah, Fighter Fest was the June show, right, that they did last year. My guess is it's just going to be, you know, an episode of Dynamite, given the Fighter Fest name. And they'll make it like almost like a Clash of the Champions special edition of Dynamite. That's what I would do. You want to make an episode of Dynamite feel special anyway. And 570.
Hey, Solomon Monster, it's Matt from Dunmore, Pennsylvania.
How are you, sir?
I just want to say, good, thank you. I really enjoyed the show. I thought Stadium Stampede was just absolute fun, you know what I mean? Just kind of enjoyable. It's not something you can really rate on a technical level, you know?
Sure.
But one thing I did want to ask you about, because I wanted to see you get more of your take on that, on the Cody Rhodes and Archer match. One thing that I kind of didn't like is the finish with, you know, like it wasn't even so much the finish. It was towards the end where the ref comes out of nowhere from the back and then pulls Ian Anderson out. It's like, it's just so contrived sometimes when they pick those spots where, oh, now we're going to do instant replays, or the general manager comes out, flips the decision. You know, it's just kind of those spots kind of just bug me because there's just no consistency in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, that was just kind of my take. I wasn't sure about like, I don't know. It just kind of bugs me how like it just shows where they're picking times when they want to do it. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel consistent. It doesn't feel, kind of takes it away from it, I guess.
Anything else from the show?
Can't think of too much other than I think it's a really good show, and I think definitely in terms of how they do cinematic matches and kind of fill the atmosphere, AEW really does a great job with, you know, doing these quarantine shows the best they can compared to WWE.
I agree. It's really one of the, and I say this every week, both companies, you know, I have a little bit of sympathy for them just because they're limited in what they can do, but, you know, AEW has mastered the formula as far as, given the circumstances, putting on an entertaining empty arena show, more often than not, they knock it out of the park. And WWE is very hit or miss when it comes to that. And that goes for NXT as well. They've had some good shows. They've had a lot of shows that just kind of, it just feels like it'll never end. And it really, the silence and everything, it just really takes you out of it. Now, maybe it is the fact that they don't have people making noise in the crowd. But honestly, I'm not going to blame, you know, put all the blame on that. Some of the shows are just bad. Did you see that show on Monday night? That was a bad show. Empty building or not, that was a bad show. So I don't want to give them, you know, kind of like a get out of jail free card on everything. But yeah, AEW has mastered the formula, is what I'll say about that. George Romani, I have to give a heartfelt thank you to him for the $50 super chat drop. I saw the Hulkamania super chat pop up. Thank you, George. That means a lot. Very kind words. I appreciate that. You are awesome, man. You are awesome. I don't know if I've seen George around before. Is this the first live stream that you've tuned in for? Because we do these a lot. So hopefully you'll be back here on Wednesday night. Let's do one more. Go to 804. See if 804 works. 804?
Jason, this is Gil, first time caller.
Hey, Gil, how are you?
I'm good. Enjoyed the pay-per-view. I thought it was great. Worth the $50. I like to support the company. The favorite match to me was Cody and Lance, but the Stampede, amazing. I love that sequence. It was awesome.
Yeah, like I said before, I just thought from start to finish, it was very entertaining. My favorite stuff was the stuff with the horse and Hangman and Sammy running for his life. I laughed out loud when I saw that, so I thought that was great. And don't forget Dick's Wings, the sign for Dick's,
yeah.
For Dick's Wings. We gotta eat Dick's Wings one day.
Wings?
Yeah. I mean, if they're wings, how bad could they be?
Right. Sammy, for me, was definitely, he's been for me, because I know like to throw around Nella Midget and not being into, but his personality shining for the special, and great. I love the guy and the host. I mean, Buddy and Omega, awesome when they almost ran him down again.
I said Sammy is a national treasure. I meant that. I think he's been he's just been fantastic. Anything else before we wrap up?
Also, I want to say MJ and Jungle Boy are the future. That match they had was a sleeper. That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They overachieved from what I thought they were going to do tonight.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. Enjoy the rest of the night.
Thank you for calling. First time caller there, Gil. I love all the new first time callers and first time donators and first time chatters. Always good to hear from new people here on these streams. Here's where things stand. 86% up and 14% down. 2,200 votes. One of them could be you. All you got to do is go to @Solomonster on Twitter. Let your voice be heard. Let me know what you thought of tonight's pay-per-view. And also, in case, and this doesn't just go for me, by the way. There's a lot of wrestlers and a lot of podcasts. But if you want 20% off everything in the Sound Off store, there's the code. There's a Memorial Day sale going on until Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. ProWrestlingTees.com/SolomonsterSoundsOff or whatever store you want. Just make sure you put the code Memorial in the when you go to check out, or else it will not work. And so that is kind of a problem. You definitely want it to work. Thank you to everybody who called in, everybody who tuned in tonight. We had a huge month here in the month of May. We had a huge month in April. WrestleMania had a lot to do with that, but I didn't know what to expect in May. And you guys kind of blew me away this month, so I hope that in June and July, and as we get into the summer months, you will join me then as well. I'm going to have my Chapter 3 Undertaker review on the channel. Join me live. We'll have a live chat party Tuesday night, 8 p.m. right here on the channel. Very next night, Wednesday night, Dynamite. Dynamite stream back here. And of course, I got to wake up in, let's see here, what, 5 hours? 5 or 6 hours? And record a 2.5 hour podcast, episode 653. Dropping on all the platforms you see on your screen right now. Pandora, Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, all that good stuff. I want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. There's been a lot of really negative news, a lot of sad news. I'm going to talk about a lot of that in the morning. Just tragic stuff that should not have happened. And unfortunately, it did. And I just want everybody out there, have a safe weekend, whatever you may be doing. Just be smart. Be safe. Have yourselves a great holiday weekend if you are here stateside. If you're in Australia, you may not give a shit. But have a good weekend, and I will see you again for episode 653 in less than 24 hours. Have a good night, guys.